You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall president, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Well, it's been another busy week at the Classic Auto Mall. It's been unbelievable. You dream about what will happen and could happen, and you put it down on paper, and you decide, you know, you do this business plan of what's going to happen, and then it happens, and it's really cool.
It's a little easier to walk through the place, though, this week.
We've got a few less cars.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. Some new listeners we should have today for our terrestrial radio debut.
Hello, Philadelphia.
Hello, Philadelphia. Hello. AM 860.
Uh-huh.
And simulcast on FM 97.5, the HD2. I don't even know what any of that means.
That's right.
But HD-2.
That's high definition.
So welcome, new listeners or old listeners or a combination of the two. We are in our second year of recording the show. It was basically just on podcast sites for about a year, and then we added it to YouTube, and we've been on YouTube for about a year and a half now, mm-hmm. Right?
We've been on for almost 2.5 years.
Have we really?
Yeah, late 22, so we're, yeah. What is that, Oh, yeah, it is about a year and a half. Over 100 shows.
Over 100, yeah. 100, this is our 132nd show that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you who are not familiar with Classic Auto Mall, we're located in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, right on the turnpike. You can't miss us. If you're going west and you're leaving anywhere east of Morgantown, you're going to come right past her. You can see the casino on the right,
mm-hmm.
Classic Auto Mall on the left. And when you're coming the other way, it would be opposite.
Be on the opposite side.
Yeah.
So if you're going to Carlisle event or Hershey or Harrisburg, you've seen the place, and we're broadcasting from the Classic Auto Mall. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Stuart Howden. I'm the host. And you're Steve's.
I'm Steve Saffier.
Yeah, there you go. And J.R. Russ is in there on the engineering console.
Hi there.
Randy's somewhere running around with the marketing thing. Got the whole crew here. And Kathy's trying to sell 18 cars back in the office. You'll hear a lot about Kathy. That's my wife and the office manager. She's the head person in charge around here. Really.
But she never comes on the radio.
She never. That will never happen. If she does, you better run and hide. Because she's got something to say, and it is not going to be pretty.
Right.
She's going to be mad at Captain Stewart for some reason. I don't know why. I do nothing wrong. I'm like a prototypical perfect mm-hmm. Stepford husband. I just go where I'm told and say yes, dear, and
so what's
fire cars.
What's the show about? What do we talk about?
It's about nothing. Have you ever seen Seinfeld?
Yes.
It's kind of the same thing.
No, this is just the exact opposite. Sorry,
this is
Stewart.
About everything. This is about cars. We talk a lot about not only classic auto. Let's back up just a second. Classic Auto Mall is a consignment-based, classic special interest, Stuart thinks it's cool car mm-hmm. showroom. We have room for over 1,000 vehicles in the showroom, and we have currently, drum roll please.
And it's not like the Philly Auto Mall where the car dealers are lined up
right,
on the street.
Outside.
This is an actual enclosed former shopping mall.
1,020 cars in inventory. We're in 336,000 square feet. And you say that to people and they go, huh? Mm-hmm. How big is that big? You know, you just have no reference until you tell people it's 8 football fields.
Yep. Right, right.
Or 8 acres under roof.
And I will say that a lot of car guys, car people mm-hmm. in the Philadelphia area are very familiar with Classic.
Oh, absolutely.
I have been here as I make my way around local car shows in the Philadelphia suburbs and vicinity. They always go, oh, yeah, I've been there. I sold a car there. I bought a car mm-hmm. there. And so they're familiar. But now we have this great radio show that we can talk about the mall and other things.
Absolutely. And our logo is very recognizable and identifiable.
It is
people
now.
See it. I get it wherever I'm traveling, anywhere in the world, or I don't go anywhere in the world, anywhere in the continental United States.
Sure.
I stay in my comfort zone. People recognize the logo. If mm-hmm. I'm wearing it on an airplane or in a shuttle bus going to an event or something, we get the recognition factor all the time, which is great. I mean, that's obviously what you want. I don't say that our logo is the best logo in the whole wide world, but it really works well for us.
And we've been in business for 6 years.
6 years. We started January 1st, 2018, with about 6 cars in the building on consignment. and 400 of my business partner's barn find collection, which we've sold off about 175 of those. Another 100 have gone back because he's decided he just really doesn't want to sell them.
Mm-hmm. And we need the room.
And we've got about, yeah, and we've got about 60 of the barn finds left for sale. So it used to be a nice big barn find, not for sale, display. And then some consignments were being added to it as we go, again, starting January 1st, 2018. By the end of 2018, we had about 400 consignments in the building. By the end of 19, we were about 600. By the end of, by the end of 19, we were 7-something,
mm-hmm.
and then COVID hit,
mm-hmm.
and we got no new consignments in for about a 6-month period, but we kept selling.
I love the story of you were walking out the door.
Yeah.
Closing the door.
We had laid everybody off. My wife, Kathy, and my son, Garrett, and I locking the door. We're walking away thinking, well, this was fun while it lasted. We've been in business for about 2 years and this was a lot of fun. And yeah, now we got to get real jobs.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what is that? And I go, oh, that's the phone ringing. Mm-hmm. So I went over and grabbed it. Hello, Classic Auto Mall. Yeah, we have a Mustang for sale. And then the other line's ringing. I'm like, Kathy. So Garrett got laid off, our son, for all of about 15 minutes.
Get back here.
Come on. And so we literally sold cars, to people and truck. Remember, truckers were still able to move, mm-hmm. Whatever they were moving. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. They were not restricted in any way. So people literally, when we sold their car, would come to the front door. They'd slide the title through the glass door. Mm-hmm. We'd slide them the check through the glass
really?
Door during COVID. And our inventory went down to about 400 cars, during that period. Mm-hmm. Because we sold so many, but weren't taking any new ones in. And then, of course, after the pandemic kind of subsided a little bit and June became July and July became August, the consignment started back up again. And then, you know, last couple of years have been crazy on the consignments, and we're at 1,022 vehicles in the building right now. At the peak, we had almost 1,100,
mm-hmm.
Vehicles, and it was too many.
Right.
It was just a hair too many.
It was a lot in the mall. Now, where do cars go? Do they just stay local?
No, they go everywhere. Nice segue, Steve.
I know that.
They go everywhere. You know, you ask everywhere do they go? Well, last week.
This is a normal feature, by the way, for new listeners.
Yeah.
We go over each week where cars went to the previous week.
Where they sold to. So, and I usually butcher the name of at least one or two cities and states, and you can email me if you have any issue with that, podcast@classicautomall.com. And, tell me what I did right or wrong. And you know, I'm thick-skinned. I can take anything
sure.
that you send to me. If you tell me I did something wrong or stupid or I looked at, whatever, I don't care. I'm okay with it.
We're going to mention that email address a couple times during the show. So
podcast@classicautomall.com.
Any comments or suggestions, we'd love to hear it.
We'd love to hear from you. And if you got any suggestions of guests to be on the show,
mm-hmm.
if you know an automotive-related race car driver or Mario Andretti or Jay Leno or, you know, anybody that's into the hobby, YouTubers that are influencers now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my goodness,
that's
we've
right.
got a guy coming on in a couple of weeks that's got a gazillion, trillion listeners and 4 billion. I don't even know.
Good following. Yeah.
Yeah. A good following. And we try to keep it light and fun. Our goal is to kind of have a smile on our face. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about deer whistles. I got to argue, who else is talking about deer whistles on the,
and if no, you don't know what nobody it, I know.
Yeah. And if you don't know what deer whistles are, they're the things that you put on the front of your car to scare away the deer, but apparently it does or doesn't work.
May or may not work.
Anyway, we've gone a little further away from where did cars sell this past week? How about Middletown, Pennsylvania, South Amboy, New Jersey, Reading, Pennsylvania, Brentwood, California, Mission, Texas, Avon, Connecticut, Bradenton, Florida, Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, Nevada, Zionsville, Pennsylvania, Sassamansville, I know I messed that up, Pennsylvania, Scottsdale, Arizona, Galloway, New Jersey, Orville, Ohio, Coatesville, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, Collegeville, Pennsylvania, again. Tahlequah, Oklahoma, Menifee, California, and Westlake Village, California.
Thank you, Internet.
Yeah, yes. And it's funny because we sell all over the world. But the consignments mostly come from this part of the world. Now we're branching that out a little bit. We're starting to get consignments coming in from Texas, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, that kind of thing. But for the most part, a good 75% of our cars come from fairly close, within 100 miles of here or so. There's a wealth of cars in this part of the world. And if you don't realize it, if you live here, you do know it. I mean, if you're listening on the Philly radio stations that were on AM 860 and FM 97.5, you know this is car culture. If you're a car person, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are car events I was looking through our list of all the events that we're going to participate in or that even are here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we do here, and to back up just a second, there is never an admission charge to come in here to view 1,000 cars. Tell me where you can go see 1,000 cars and not pay anything.
Exactly.
If you go to Bear Jackson as a spectator and they have a 1,500 or however many cars, it's 80, 90 bucks to get in,
mm-hmm.
you know. If you come here, it's never a charge to come in. If you have a car club and you want to meet here, no charge. If you want to put on a car show in our parking lot, if we have to, you know, all we're asking is for an insurance certificate and that's it. And
yeah.
leave the place like you found
mm-hmm.
it. Beyond that, have your car club, have your meet here, whatever you like to do. Because we encourage people. We want this to be kind of the hub or the epicenter of the classic car world in this part of the world. And we found out quickly when we started this that, you know, how many cars, this might arguably be as big as Scottsdale or Southern California or South Florida is the car
for
culture.
Sure.
Maybe a little different type of cars. These are more classics and antiques. Maybe Florida's more Ferraris and Porsches and things like that as well, too.
We have an exotic population mm-hmm. here that meets here, and they guess they rally back
over.
Oh,
the supercar rally yeah. that goes to Lancaster.
Amazing. So there's tons of cars mm-hmm. here, and there's also a hotel connected to Classic Auto Mall if you want to spend a day out yeah. here. And
there's a casino right across the street. So, you know, you've got – and Shady Maple is just down the road, so you can eat till you bust.
Classic car is probably a better investment than a casino. But
and what is the name of that casino?
Why,
sir?
It's Hollywood Casino. Morgantown.
Shout out.
So anyway, #, Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a beautiful facility. It opened about 2 years ago. And it's funny because you think, oh my gosh, there's casinos everywhere. And mm-hmm. so how can a new one be relevant? It is relevant because what happens is that people that live close to the casino, let's say you used to have to drive an hour. Now, if you only got to drive 15 or 20 minutes, you're more likely to maybe go once or twice more mm-hmm. than you would go if you had to drive a little further. So they create kind of a market as they continue to grow. And of course, they have the online gaming as well, too. So, but you know, it's nice that we're becoming little old Morgantown, population of about 5,000, has a casino and arguably the largest classic car dealership, single dealership in the world.
Yep.
Two interesting business dynamics in little old small town Morgantown.
Yep.
So
it's actually up and coming town.
Up and coming town. So we're exit 298 off the turnpike. And if you get a chance, come visit us. Our hours are on our website. Our website is classicautomall.com. Not only can you get our new inventory there and find out our hours, but you can also listen to old podcasts that we've done. We've been recording. We've got a bunch. So get a chance, go there. And we'll take a break and be back in just a couple of minutes.
Stock number 4922 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is this rare Dale Earnhardt Special Edition 1994 Chevrolet Camaro Z28. There were only six of these Special Edition Camaros built in 1994, and the consigner states this is the only one with a six-speed manual transmission, adding to its rarity. With less than 6,000 verified miles, it's still in showroom condition. The dashboard is signed both by Dale Jr. and Dale Sr., and photos of the signing are included. The six built were to commemorate Earnhardt's six championships up to that point. Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Easily search our inventory at classicautomall.com. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/AWR. That's 888-268-4783, or visit jctaylor.com/AWR. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studios in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Show number 132. We're old hats at this.
This is show number one.
Yeah, this is show number one. If you're listening, I want to make a little clarification. Once again, I'm Stuart Howden, the host, my co-host, Steve Saffier. And I wanted to make a little clarification. We are on AM 860 out of Philly, and we're on FM 97.5 on the HD2. Apparently, you can't just go to 97.5. You got to have a high-def radio. And you
in
have
your
to,
car, in your car. Home. Mostly in cars.
You have to stand on one leg.
Good. And most of the salesmen at the dealerships, if you have a newer car, don't even know how to show it. They don't explain it. But
okay.
We sometimes need explaining. So.
If it has a little yellow HD logo on it, it means you can receive it. You just might have to read your manual, God forbid.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, which is War and Peace.
Yeah.
If you've seen a manual lately, a car we just bought recently, the manual was missing and I went online to find it. And luckily, long story short, the guy found it and is going to be sending it to us. But I went online to find it. $500 for a manual because it was leather bound.
Sure. Sure.
You know.
Numbered probably.
Numbered and, you know. I mean, $500 for the manual. Now, my newer cars, the manual is literally in the dash, in the computer. It's like
Can
go to the manual on the Mercedes and
search
and you can find everything in the manual.
Yeah, but Tesla.
They are so complex. The stuff that I looked under the seat of my wife's Mercedes SUV, and it looked like you were going to launch the,
some wires
the
under
shuttle.
There.
I mean, there's wires and crimping things and little controllers and, you know, and I'm thinking, I love heated seats, but what if they catch on fire?
Yeah. I had to disconnect the BMW Z3. It's a big deal. I mean, it's a common problem with Z3s that they would heat up and you'd have to disconnect them. So I do not have heated seats, even though I have the
fire in the hole.
Fire in the hole. Oh,
literally.
Ouch.
Okay. See, we're lighthearted here, folks.
That's right, folks.
We're just having fun here. We're not splitting atoms, as we like to say. But anyway, back to, Classic Auto Mall and what we do here. All of our cars, 99.9999% of our cars are on consignment. And so, what that means is that there's people within the area or all over the country for that matter, have a car that they want to sell. They've either realized one of two things, that it's really hard to sell your car on your own and there's a lot of pitfalls in it. And so our success has been just because of that, really 100% because of that. Because if you could sell it and it was easy, why would you pay us a commission? Why bother with us? I would argue though that 99% of the time when we sell a car, our fee is based on the fact that we presented the car in a better light and a better way than you could have. And therefore you got the same amount of money with no work as you would have gotten had you sold it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But the pitfalls of selling your own car are the guy shows up on Saturday night. You're at dinner or calls you, says, I want to come see the car. I'm ready to buy it now. Shows up at your house, loves the car. Hands you a cashier's check, wants the keys and wants the title and wants to leave. What do? You don't give it to him. Because a cashier's check can be counterfeited.
Could be.
Yep.
Could be
very
fake.
Easily.
Yep.
And you don't want to go to your bank Monday morning after you've given a guy your $50,000 car and your title and signed it off to him, only to find out that this bank doesn't exist.
Right. Exactly.
Or this account doesn't exist or whatever, fill in the blank. So and then guys want help with shipping. They want to store it for a couple of months. There's scams. They want you to send something. They're going to put it in escrow. And this, all you got to do is put $500 Goodwill money in and a lot of pitfalls. So again, the reason there's 1,000 cars in the building is because of that. And then the next question begs, do you sell any? Yeah, we do.
We average quite a few.
We average about 90 to 100 sales per month.
Per month.
That's a huge number. That's not something that, most dealers can hold their hat. I mean, most of my buddies that are in this business have 25, 30 cars in inventory. They're in a warehouse somewhere and they sell four or five cars a month now. And they have to own the inventory.
Right.
We don't have to own the inventory, which means we can spend more money on marketing and we can spend money on the building. Because mm-hmm. most people, the reason we don't have a lot of competition in this is because go find a building of this size and square footage mm-hmm. and buy it for anything reasonable. Even if it's a dilapidated, rundown, had defunct mall, mm-hmm. which is what this is.
Right.
They still want ridiculous amount of money, a couple hundred dollars a square foot for a building. And you just can't make the math work in doing this business. We were able to buy this building at a bargain. We bought it in 2016, and it had sat empty for about 6 years. It was originally built by the founder of Holiday Inn, Kemmons Wilson, built this outlet mall and the Holiday Inn, which we own as well, which is connected, mm-hmm. walk through access to the building. So it's cool. You got an event here, walk through, there's a restaurant and lounge and your hotel room. And an indoor cement pond. So you got a swimming hole.
That's right.
So, you know, although I don't know if you want to go swimming in, I don't know if I want to be swimming in the middle of the lobby of a Holiday Inn in Morgantown.
Pretty wild.
Well, I just have to say one thing. It's a darn good thing they weren't trying to do a remake of the Blues Brothers when right, the mall was empty because yeah. they may have driven through this one.
Absolutely. We, when the building first, when we first got it, my partner put 400 barn finds in the building and then Each room, each of these, I mean, you got to understand that if you've never been here, there are storefronts and it's four wings that's all equal size and shape
one
and layout.
Store, one story.
One story.
Yep.
And, each of the showrooms, we put all of his old barn finds on the front glass so you could window shop for barn finds and then a black curtain behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first walked in the building, that was the case and I didn't get overwhelmed and I think, oh my God, this is too much to fill because mm-hmm. it looked like it was kind of full, but it wasn't. No cars down the middle of the hallways or anything like that. So we've built and grown this business over the past 6 years and certainly couldn't have done it without all the help of the staff and, mm-hmm. and everybody that, puts in their hard work and God, the guy who writes the descriptions. I mean, that guy.
It's on fire.
That guy's on fire. I've never seen a guy so on fire. Yeah. So.
And virtually everybody who comes in here the first time is just wowed.
Yeah. Our logo motto, tagline is wait till you see this place in person. Because just like I was saying about 336,000 square feet, people go, what's 300? How big is that? Is that big?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that a football field? No, might be six or something.
Our other motto is your pride and joy is
our
pride and joy. We treat them well. You're not allowed to touch, really not allowed to touch the cars, open the cars. So we get people walking through the place, but your car is protected.
Yeah.
And we do watch it and we market it worldwide.
Yeah. But Steve, if I wanted to get in a car, I was
yes.
serious about buying it,
well,
what would I do?
Go.
You would look for a car specialist,
yes.
which we have five or six here.
Yeah, we have at least five or six. And you tell one of the girls up front that you're interested in looking at a car and we're happy to show you everything about a car. People say, why don't you leave the hoods up? Well, because it doesn't mm-hmm. look good. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. I know you want to see the engine. I know that's, you know, there's hoods up days at museums.
Could they see photographs of the engine?
Absolutely, they could. Because not only do we have a description on every window, but now, finally, we've got a QR code
mm-hmm.
that will take you to that listing on our website and will show you the undercarriage picture. So you really don't need to open the hood or anything. And then if you're really interested, you know, if you're serious about the car and interested, then one of our car specialists is happy to show you the car. And what we do, our policy is that we take a $500 refundable, $400 of a refundable deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a deposit down on a car, you want to buy it. And you decide, well, you get home and your wife says, you're not buying that car. What are you, stupid?
It's often the case.
Yeah. We're going to give you 400 of your 500 back. We're keeping 100 because we got to pay the credit card fees and we want you to learn a lesson.
Should be pissed about the 100.
Don't do it without asking your wife.
Right.
Come on.
Wife, space, and money are the three issues we always talk about.
Well, the four things that you need to buy any classic vehicle. And do we all remember, folks?
No, we don't, but you can tell us.
Well, I remember four.
It's that you have to have the person who wants that car.
Yes.
That exactly one, whatever, Mustang, Corvette, whatever, has the money to buy it, a place to put it, and a wife that'll let him have it. And if anyone is missing, no sale.
No sale. And, you know, we're half joking, but half serious. I mean, you come in this place, it's a little overwhelming. You're like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, man, it's...
And your kids are off to school, you know, they're gone from, they're graduated.
They're
out of college. You're not paying for them anymore. Your house is paid off or it's close to paid off. You've got some extra money in the bank. Oh, there's that Mustang I always wanted. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy that car. Well, your brain is not totally functioning thoroughly like it should. What you need to say is, oh, okay, I'm going to buy that car. What steps would I need to take? I should probably call my wife because
if she's not with you at the moment.
If she's not with you,
bring her, that happens, yeah.
bring her with you. You'll get her excited about it too.
That's right.
But think through these things, because we don't want to keep your $100. We're just doing that so you'll just won't put a deposit down unless you really want the car.
Sure.
Now, if there's something that has been misrepresented on the car, if we said that it had this and it didn't have that, or if we said it was a 427 and it was a 400, then we're going to give you all your $500 back. If we've made a mistake, but if you change your mind for any reason, mm-hmm. you don't like it, you don't like the way it drives, blah, 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 we keep $100. Fair enough. And you know, we get some pushback on that sometimes, but it's only fair. I mean, it's a lot of work and effort to show these cars and to make sure that they're in showable condition. And if you're just doing it to kick the tires, then that doesn't, you know, it hurts our guys. Our guys are on commission.
Right.
And the only way that they get paid mm-hmm. is to sell a car.
How do test drives work? Because that's a big question yeah. that comes up with people.
So test drives are literally the last piece of the puzzle. You have decided on a car that you want. You have put a deposit down on it. You've got an agreed price if it does everything that we say that it's going to do. And then the last portion of it is a test drive. And depending on the car, all the test drives happen within our parking lot. Mm-hmm. We have a 27 acres of asphalt on a 40-acre property. All the test drives happen here. We don't allow it out on the highway. If that's not good enough for you, maybe this isn't the place for you to buy a car.
Right.
That's what we do, and that's how we do it. And a lot of cars, we don't allow you to drive yourself. We would have to have one of our guys drive it for you, because if it's a high horsepower car, if it's something that's a little tricky to drive, if it's got some little quirks and things that aren't necessarily mm-hmm. wrong with the car, they're just things that you got to know about and you got to get used to on your own, then we'll take you for a ride in the car. We right. do everything in our power to make it as easy and simple and you can understand it as best you can. But you got to understand that we don't own these cars, and we don't want to create a bunch of liability. And this is not a bucket list place. It's not a place to go and test drive a car and say you got to drive a 2022 Z06 Corvette or a 1957 mm-hmm. Chevrolet Bel Air convertible. We're happy to show you the car. We're happy to do everything in our power. We're happy to let you walk through here and look at the cars. But understand that this is a business, that we don't own the cars, that we're the caretakers of these cars, and we have to protect both sides of the transaction. We have two customers for every vehicle, the consignor and the buyer. And so that's a little bit of a unique situation.
Mm-hmm. And we're always trying to make both of them happy. And that's usually the way, that's really the success of the business, is mm-hmm. that everybody walks away thinking, I got a good deal. I got a good price for my car.
Yeah.
I didn't have to interact with the buyer necessarily.
Sure.
And it takes that part out of it. The other thing is, we also, after the test drive, if you get that far, we'll put it up on the lift for you and let you take a look underneath it.
Sure. We take the headache from both sides of it out, because if you're not a professional, you don't know what to tell a person when you're selling a car to them, and you don't want to misrepresent it, but you may very well. Or you may not know what the car is. You may not know what the engine size mm-hmm. is. A lot of people buy cars at auctions. They have no idea. I don't know. I bought it.
I like it.
It looked nice. I think it's a 350. Might be a 327. Who knows? So when we return to the Classic Auto Mall show, we'll talk a little bit about some new inventory that's coming to the building, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes on the Classic Auto Mall show on AM 860 and FM 97.5 HD2.
Ever since the first time you saw it, perhaps even as a child, you knew you wanted one. Now, you're at a point in your life where you have the means to buy and keep one. Your significant other is even in agreement. But where and how can you find one? And trust you know as much as you can about it before the purchase. That's why there's ClassicAutoMall.com. 1,000 classic vehicles of almost every conceivable make, model, and year. All under one climate-controlled roof. You can visit and look to your heart's delight. Or do everything online from the comfort of your own home. Shipping nearly everywhere worldwide, Classic Auto Mall can make your dream come true. Visit the World Wide Web at ClassicAutoMall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction, including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, You can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show. Listen in on AM 860 and FM 97.5 HD2 out of Philly. Or you can catch us on all the podcast sites, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple. Listen to the show on our website. There's a link to the different sites that you can get to. And then YouTube, where you can actually see the filming of it. And you'll see pictures of cars that we're talking about, new inventory and things like that. So, it's evolved. We started out as a podcast. Mm-hmm. That was what we were. And we quickly realized that we wanted to be more than a podcast. We wanted to be more of a talk show type thing. And we'll have some guests on. We don't have a guest today, other than we have right. Steve. But we will have guests, and we do have a lot of guests lined up coming up, and they're interesting automotive celebrities, famous, people that you've heard of and seen on television, influencers on YouTube, race car drivers,
collectors,
fellow competitor, dealers, auction companies. We had the CEO of Mecum Auction on, recently. Right. And of course, are they competitor? Yeah. Is it okay that they're on our show? Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's room for everybody.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I can remember that when Mecum Auction came to Harrisburg, all the local little regional auctions, Carlisle and Grant Miller Sale and Hershey, and all these are like, oh man, what's going to happen? You know, they're going to take, it's like a vacuum cleaner. They're going to suck up the whole market. Everybody's business was even better after they came. Mm-hmm. So competition, in my opinion, breeds success.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, Classic Auto Mall has proven that we're in the same class as any of these guys, in what we do, how we present the car, how we do things. And we've done a auction here. Last September we had an auction, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm, that was great.
And, we're going to do probably another one or maybe two a year.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really decided on the date. We're kind of.
Now your background is in, you were in the auction business for a while, right?
In various guises. I worked for eBay when they owned Cruise International out of Auburn, Indiana, and we did 36 auctions a year all over the country, all classic car auctions. And then our granddaddy was Labor Day in Auburn, Indiana. We're on a 300-acre site that was full of a couple thousand classic cars auctioned off, 1,000 cars in the car corral, vendors galore. I mean, a swap meet and vendor area like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was partners with Boyd Coddington and Scotty Gray, my buddy from Texas. We had an auction company and did some auctions in Springfield, Missouri, one out in California, disaster. and then of course I worked with Grant Miller over in Lock Haven, which a lot of you, if you're in the classic car world, you know who Grant Miller was. He passed away, unfortunately about a year ago, or not even that long ago. Mm. And Grant was one of the good guys in the hobby. He did a classic sale once a year in July at his place in Mill Hall, Lock Haven, PA. And he had the lowest fees in the industry because he wasn't doing it to make a profit. He's doing it because he enjoyed doing it. And he'd been going to auctions for years. He thought, I can do this, and I have a facility. And he's turned into a great sale. They auctioned about 450 cars over a two-day event. If you check out CPA, Central Pennsylvania Auto Auction, their website, I'm sure if you just Google them, you'll find it pretty easily. And a great bunch of people. And so we've done lots of different things in the hobby. I've worked for some high net worth collectors who had nice collections, you know, kind of got to oversee the collection and sell off some of the stuff if they replaced it and that kind of thing. So I've been around for a while.
Yep. I've been around the block
and my wife and I have had our own dealerships and our own museum in Branson, Missouri. And, we had warehouses where we'd have 40 or 50 cars and, you know, we did everything ourselves. We didn't have a staff. We didn't have six car specialists. We didn't have a studio. We didn't have any of this.
Right.
It was just us. And it was In some ways, it was more gratifying than this because I knew every car. I don't know every car now, and that's frustrating to me because I want to know every car.
It's hard.
I want to know every detail about every
car. It's so hard.
But with this many cars, it's very difficult to know everything.
Yeah, and I've often said that people come in, you know, they're looking for a specific car. Maybe they saw it online. They're here. They know more about that car probably than some of car specialists. We have our own specialties, but if you know Camaros, you know, and you're looking at a 69 Camaro, you probably know a little more about it. And we're just there to facilitate the sale for you.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's what people are surprised at is that we can't know everything about every car. You may be an expert on early Thunderbirds, 55, 6, and 7, or Tri-5 Chevys, 5, 6, and 7 Chevys. And you probably know more than anybody. You know, I mean, you're the guy.
Right.
And so when you come here, what you're wanting us to show you is the things that are deviated from the norm. What doesn't work? What is this? And why is this different? And where's the kill switch? And where's where's the fuel shut off? And where's all the
How do you open the hood?
How do you open the daggum hood? Nothing more embarrassing than standing on an auction block and you're the car guy. And somebody says, hey, pop that hood. And I don't know.
Inside, outside.
I don't know.
Safety lock? I don't know.
It could be two different ways. And you push and pull.
Hood pins.
There's just so many things. And, you know, or maybe it's got an inside pull.
Yeah.
You don't even know that.
That's right.
You know, because once they figured out that maybe you could pop a hood without, if you locked your car, it didn't matter because a guy could still get under the hood and steal your carburetor.
Right.
Or your air cleaner or whatever compressor or whatever it is. So, excuse me. What we try to do is we try to present the cars and we try to show everything that's good, bad, and ugly about the car. And if it's, we get calls sometimes from consigners to say, I wish you wouldn't put that picture of that particular rust hole. And we say, we can't do that because the only way that this works is that and it doesn't always work even when we try our best to make it work. But the only way that it works on a whole level is that we are brutally honest about the car. We tell you what it is, even if it makes you go, not interested.
Right. Right.
You know? And, you know, you hate to do that. I mean, gosh, the last thing you want to do is push a guy away and maybe, you know, maybe he wasn't going to buy the car. It wasn't the right car for him no matter what. But it's, you know, it's part of what we do, and it's the part of the way that we do our business, and it's why we've been successful.
Absolutely.
It's why we sell 100 cars a month.
Absolutely.
It's why people bring 1,000 cars here to our facility. And so, you know, hard to argue with that. Some of the new inventory in the 1964 Chrysler Imperial LeBaron four-door hardtop. This thing is so cool. I love this car.
I do too. And
and it's not a car I typically love.
If space, money, and wife were not an issue, this is one.
Is that the one with the little lights on the fender they sit up on top? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The whole thing is really cool. The shape of the dash is mirrored in the shape of the rear bumper. It's just fascinating.
Right, right. And it's funny, if you look at the car from the rear and you see the bumper and you see the dash, you're like, whoa, that ties in.
And this is the Green Hornet car, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 413 cubic inch Golden Lion V8. I love that, the Golden Lion. Garage kept, single family owned. It's a luxury cruiser. I mean, it's just, there's no other way to describe it. And you didn't see many of these back in the day. I mean, how often do you remember growing up seeing any kind of Chrysler Imperial or any of these type of cars? You just didn't.
You didn't.
See them.
And the interior is amazing. The buttons are incredible. The dash, Art Deco mixed with modern technology. It's just a wild car. And I fully suspect somebody will find a seat.
It's one of those cars that people, when they see it, they may not have ever even heard of it or never have seen one, but they fall in love with it. They just go, oh, that is so cool. And four-door cars are generally not at the top of the list of people's desirability, if you will. It's usually the pecking order is convertible, two-door hardtop, two-door sedan, four-door hardtop, four-door sedan, station wagon, somewhere thrown in the middle of there. And that's usually kind of the pecking order of collectability.
Sure.
This thing, I mean, people just love it. And it's a hard top as well. Which means people say, how can you have a two-door sedan? A sedan means four doors. No. A sedan means there's a post between the driver's window and the passenger window, or the front windows and the rear windows.
Right.
It can be a two-door sedan, or it can be a four-door sedan. If it doesn't have the post in between, then it's a two-door hardtop or a four-door hardtop. So there's my lesson of
the
day.
There you go.
What's a bubble top?
And a bubble top is a top that has a bubble shape on it where your fat head can sit.
Or a 61 Chevy.
Or a 61 Chevy. There is a bubble
and
top.
And no B-pillar.
And no B-pillar.
Right.
And the B-pillar is, again, the bar there. So when you roll the windows down on a hardtop, whether it's a two-door or four-door, it looks all wide open. It's really got a cool look to it. So
yeah, we just got a Mercedes-Benz, a modern one. The whole thing's a dome, and then you put the windows down, it's like open air.
Yeah, that's the E550, I think it is. And that's a really –
It's on the website. It's on the first page of the website.
ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you have any questions, podcast at ClassicAutoMall.com as well. So anyway, next of the new inventory is something right up your alley.
What is it?
Why, it's a 1991 GMC Cyclone pickup,
that's
Steve.
Right. It is a GMC Cyclone.
It is, and this one is really cool. It's got the 4.3-liter turbo V8. It's number 2548 of 2998 built.
That's right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's towards the end of the run.
Right.
Any difference between the early and late ones?
Not really.
I mean, maybe a little better build quality. Do they get better as they go? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, there's really not a huge difference between 001 and 2498 or whatever it is. Yeah, no.
Listen, 1991 wasn't a banner year for the way that General Motors built cars.
It depends on whether it was built on a Wednesday or a Friday.
Friday.
And that could change everything.
Guy was waiting for his paycheck and ready to get out.
How do we know Steve is a sci-fi enthusiast? Well, check out Haggerty Magazine this month. If I could just self-plug myself.
Shameless.
Driver's Club Magazine. That's Driver's me Club? On page
77.
Page 40.
Wow.
Page
You're 40. Published.
There I am so with my Typhoon.
You only got the small listing.
Hey.
I'm just kidding.
I'm in there.
I'm pretty proud of you.
Thank you. Same drivetrain in the Typhoon as there was in the Cyclone. In fact, the intake says Cyclone on Typhoons. They didn't even bother re-engraving.
Well, that doesn't sound GM-esque. Oh, dang. Right. No worries about
mentioning
that.
What you were mentioning before, my uncle worked at Chrysler in Detroit and Hamtramck, actually.
Right.
And said, never buy a Monday Plymouth.
That's right.
Because the guys come back after a long weekend and it was
Mondays
like
and
that.
Fridays.
He said, you get one on Wednesday, that's a good one, as if you would know.
Yeah, a little hungover from the weekend the guys were, I guess, right? So,
But back to the GMC Cyclone, now collectability has gone through the roof in the last couple of years, right after I sold one, of course, and which is always the case.
Sure.
And they're super incredible. They're finally seen as the grandfather of the sport truck movement. Certainly quicker than most cars on the road still today, to 60 miles an hour, and they're just a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are. And this one's an unmolested example, right? It's pretty much original stock.
Right.
Some of them have been, they've had modifications, different wheels.
Exhaust.
Yeah. And listen, if you do that, okay, that's your thing. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Just save everything. Don't throw away the old exhaust. Sure. Don't throw away the old wheels. Don't sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Keep everything that was original to the car. Anything. And we preach and preach and preach and harp on this and harp on this. Do not get rid of anything. Mm-hmm. Any piece of paper that comes with the car, any dealership forms or paperwork or anything that you get, none of it is to be thrown away.
Right.
Keep every bit of it in a folder. Keep everything in a box if you're going to replace any parts. Even if you replace, especially on an older car, the original starter, and you're just going to buy a new one,
right,
keep the old one.
Yep.
Because those are all numbered and serial numbered and all that. And when it comes time to sell it, you're going to really thank me, and I'll take 10%.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a property room where we keep the materials, so bring it with you if you're consigning a car through us. And it does help sell cars.
It does help sell cars, so absolutely. And don't forget to check out our website, ClassicAutoMall.com. And thanks for listening. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Stock number 5980 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is this incredible 1957 Chevrolet Bel Air convertible. This full frame-off restoration is covered in Matador red paint and sports fender skirts to add to the cruiser look. It's powered by a 283 V8 with dual four-barrel carburetors and a three-speed manual transmission. It has drum brakes on all four corners, independent coil suspension in the front, and leaf springs in the rear. Even the undercarriage is in Concours condition, and it has only 4,263 miles since it was immaculately restored. Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Easily search our inventory at ClassicAutoMall.com. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio. You're listening to us on AM 860 possibly or FM 97.5 HD2. I'm Stuart Howden, your host. My co-host here, Steve Saphir.
Yep.
Saphir.
However it comes
out.
Only
been 2 years and I still don't know how to pronounce his name. So
that's all right.
He said, don't worry about that when we first
spelling
started.
Spelling is on page 40 of Driver's Club
magazine. I can spell it. S-A-F-F-I-E-R, right?
There you go.
See, I can spell it. I just can't. I can only spell it. I can't say it. So, some more new inventory that we've gotten in recently. The 1966 Ford Mustang Fastback GT350 Tribute.
Mm-hmm.
What's a tribute, you say?
What's a tribute?
A tribute is a recognition of a different type of car. So you take a Fastback Mustang and you make it into something that looks like a Shelby GT350. You make it into a clone, if you will, mm-hmm. of what the car would have been. So you got to realize that in a Mustang world, especially in the 60s, you could buy a six-cylinder notchback, three on the floor, mm-hmm. Mustang that was what they called the secretary car. It would be a car that was not a high horsepower. It was just kind of a daily driver type car. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a sports car per se.
Right.
And then you could go all the way up to Shelby GT350, and then there were Shelby GT500s and all these different things. So sometimes people take a car and make a tribute to one of the others. They can call it a clone. They can call it a continuation. There's all kinds of different names that they have for it, but ultimately it's a homage to
very French,
to the car. And a lot of people do it, and there's no harm and no foul in doing that unless you try to pawn it off as the real thing,
right?
Or you take a car that's very expensive and very collectible and you put all kinds of different stuff in it and you kind of ruin the value of it, because originality is very important. You hear about numbers matching, and what that means is that the car, in the simplest terms of numbers matching, it means that the car has the engine and the transmission in the rear end that it was born with. In more detailed parlance, it's everything. It's the starter. It's the intake manifold. It's the carburetor. It's everything that came, the wheels, everything that came on the car originally. And if you've got that, then you've got kind of the holy grail of that particular car, especially if it's a low production car. They say, why didn't we buy all these cars back in the day?
Sure.
We didn't know.
No.
I had no idea.
And they were like $8,000 or something.
Yeah. $8,000 was a lot of money. People say, so the difference between a 1967 Camaro coupe and a 1967 Camaro convertible, $300. People go, well, why wouldn't you just pay the $300? $300 was probably 6 months of house payments.
That's true.
You know, your rent might be $50 a month back then.
Right.
So people don't realize the difference in value of money back then versus now. So anyway, this one is really nicely done. It's got a 347 stroker V8, a C4 automatic with a shift kit, custom interior, new power brakes, which makes it more drivability, easier to drive and safer to drive. And heat and air. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing anymore is air.
Yeah.
A lot of people are putting air conditioning. They're like, wait a minute. I got a black car, black interior. I'm going to drive it to the car show in the summer or in the parade. I got to have air.
Definitely. And how much is a real GT350 today? If we had one on the floor today,
200,000 plus. Yeah, easily. Some of them, if they're special edition ones, there can be 500,000.
Or if they have racing provenance, I'm talking $1 million.
Yeah, exactly. This car is way less than that. And you kind of get all the look and style and feel and a high horsepower engine, without the cost and without the worry of driving it and ruining something that's original. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these cars, if you've got an all original car from the 60s or 70s and it's a, you know, desirable car, there's things that we say rare versus desirable. Mm-hmm. Rare means they only made a few of something. Desirable means they only made a few of something and people really want it. You know, you can say, well, I've got a car that they only made five of. Well, the reason they only made five of is because they couldn't sell six. They could only sell five.
Right.
And so rare versus desirable. Just because you have something that's rare doesn't make, you know, people say all the time, oh, I've got this car and my father bought it back in the 40s and it's, you know, one of 15 and it's a Graham Hollywood. They're just not very collectible for whatever reason. Or a four-door Packard from 1940, even though that car has made it 84 years, 85 years almost now, not very collectible.
Right.
It's just an old car. And unfortunately, not every car is collectible. You can tell the ones that are. They're low production, low serial number, high horsepower. If you're going to buy something from a collectible standpoint, anything even new, buy the top of the line. You know, don't buy the bottom of the line. Don't buy the roll-up window. Can you even get roll? Is there even roll-up windows in a car anymore?
I did see a car with a roll-up windows recently.
Or manual locks.
Maybe it was an '80s car, '90s.
You had to go back and lock
remember
all
that?
The locks individually.
Good days.
Yeah, good days. For good times, you know. And you certainly, from a safety standpoint, if you needed to lock your doors quickly, that might be a little tricky.
The other thing to your point about desirability is there were cars that were super common back in the 60s or 70s, you know, there were a dime a dozen. They were daily drivers. Everybody had one. Ford Granada comes to mind, for example. And now there's not that many left. And so they become desirable, even though they were absolutely ubiquitous. They were everywhere.
You're right.
Ford Granadas were everywhere. Now good luck finding one. I mean, we have one in inventory, by the
way. Which is rare.
And it's rare.
Yeah.
And somewhat desirable for those people who remember it fondly.
Right. It wouldn't be a collect. If somebody had said to you 20 years ago, oh, let's collect a Granada, even then you would have known, no, that's a terrible idea.
Right.
But when you find one, because here's the problem. Because let's say a Granada in perfect condition is worth $12,000 today. And I'm just using round numbers.
Right.
And you find one that needs everything, but you can buy it for $2,000. Well, you're going to quickly go past $12,000 when you paint it, when do interior, when you do chrome, whatever it is that you're going to do. You're going to quickly go past that number. Why would you restore something and you were trying to make a profit and spend more than you can sell it for? Well, obviously you wouldn't. But some people restore cars, ching ching, hello, for out of love. They love the car. Grandma had one. Sure. Grandpa had one.
That's right.
A fond memory of this car, and they say, you know what? I want one, and I want to make it perfect. I don't care what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-father-in-law did that. He restored a 1940 Chrysler four-door sedan in gold.
Yeah.
And not very, the nicest one in the world is probably worth 15 grand. Mm-hmm. He spent 80 restoring it, and this was 20 years ago.
Wow. Well, that goes back to the rule number one of the four rules.
Right.
Is you people will walk by that Granada, either not give it a second look or just go, I don't care about it. And that one person who has the wife that'll let him have it and the money and the place to put it will look at that and say, That's what I want.
And one of the things that you may not realize when you're walking through here, let's say, for example, you're walking past a 1977 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. Mm-hmm. And you think, I'm just not really a Coupe de Ville guy. That never really, you know, it was, okay, I appreciate it. It was But then you realize that one has only 4,000 original miles on it.
Somebody
you
put
go,
it away.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Now I'm interested in this car.
Mm-hmm.
Because low mileage on late model, and I say late model, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s cars, mileage is king. There is no better modifier that times the pricing. So the price guy can tell you that the best one in the world is worth $11,500. And that one might sell for $40,000 because it has 4,000 original miles. No price guy's going to ever tell you that. They're not an ad to make it with that low a mileage go up that much in price. And there's no Kelley Blue Book and all of that that will do that. Low mileage changes the equation and everything. We have an 86 or an 85 IROC here or an 86 and it's super low mileage. And if you had one with 60,000 miles, it'd be worth 15 grand. And the one with 400 original miles is worth 70 grand.
Yeah.
Exactly. You say, well, how can that possibly be? Mileage is king on those things. I mean, it is the modifier that changes everything exponentially, more so than anything. So
I want to say that, we talk about getting wife's approvals and stuff like, but a lot of times the couples walk through this place and the wife is looking for a car. You know, it's the one that she had as a teenager, or they met in this car. They had some experience in the car and she's the one leading the purchase.
Yeah. And we're not, when we say that you got to get approval from the wife, we're not trying to be sexist. We're not trying to be, you know, oh, the wife, you know,
or we should just say spouse. That'll
the spouse is probably a better way to describe
it. Or
significant other, but usually it is the wife. I mean, the husband's into cars. The wife may or may not be. Generally speaking, the wife isn't into cars like the husband is.
Right.
I mean, guys are into cars. It's just our thing.
It's 90%.
90% of them. So, I mean, you look at the guys that come through, 70% of it's probably male, and they're male and they're 50s and 60s, and that's our, you know, target market, if you will, and those are the guys that are here on a regular basis. And so a lot of these guys, listen, we have clients who buy multiples of cars from us. They buy 10, 15, 20 cars a year from us.
Wow.
These are guys that are players in the hobby. They have a lot of money. They're having fun. They're buying the toys. They're buying the dreams. They drive them for 3 or 4 months. They sell them. They buy a couple other things. They sell those. It's just a, you know, revolving door at the garage, and good for them. So
right.
Anyway, other new inventory. How about the 1955 Messerschmitt?
Oh, yeah.
KR200. Bubble top.
Real bubble top.
A real bubble top. It's actually got a plastic bubble top over it. And it's very awkward feeling when you're in it.
Air conditioning?
Yeah. Needs it. I don't believe it has it.
No air conditioning. That would be hot in the summer.
It's like a 2-cylinder, 3-cylinder.
That was the problem with bubble top hot rods back in the day, is everybody thought that would be a design trend that would pass on to passenger cars and consumers. Wasn't.
We have a Toyota Venza. That it has a cold glass top, and you push a button, and it changes to opaque.
Right.
And so it cools or diffuses the sunlight when it comes in. Something I would probably never pay for, but it came with it because we bought it with 2,500 miles.
You wouldn't check the box on that when you're at the new car dealer I'll take the opaque.
It is a conversation piece, though, when somebody gets in the car and say, hey, look at this. Now you can see through it. Now you can't.
Yeah. You get in this thing, and you feel like you're in a, you know, it's a cocoon feeling.
Yeah, it's like a cocoon.
It really is. And understand that a Messerschmitt or some of the other small micro cars that we've gotten in, the Fiat, BMW Isetta 300, the Fiat 500, these are not generally cars that are driven on a regular basis. They're usually in the corner of a nice collection, or, you know, they're just not ones that, I mean, the Messerschmitt has a 2-stroke 1-cylinder engine.
Oh, 1-cylinder, yeah.
Yeah, 1-cylinder, 191 cc's. I think my motorcycle has more cc's than that, right?
My bicycle does, but these are great when they show up at car shows. They always elicit smiles. Kids love them. Families love them. They're kind of like a novelty in a way, but they were real cars back in the day.
And they're futuristic looking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's so cool about them. And that's one of the things that, like you see, there's a General Motors, and I won't get too deep into it, has the Heritage Collection up in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And they have a collection of cars. And the ones that get the most attention are the ones that look futuristic for the time. So they made the Firebirds back in the 50s and 60s, and they weren't Pontiac Firebirds. They were called Firebirds because they looked like jets with wheels on them, you know, and they were so cool. And you take those and see those at a car show, and kids are going nuts over them. So how do we keep the hobby interesting to the kids? We bring out stuff like that. We let them see stuff like that. We let them see stuff like the Messerschmitt and the Fiat 500 and the BMW Isetta that we have. We've got a nice collection of micro cars in addition to a 1016.
And a Batmobile.
And a Batmobile, don't forget. And a real Cobra.
And a real Cobra.
I mean, if you've never seen a real Cobra, we have one right here. It's a gazillion dollars, and, you know, that's okay, because it's a pretty cool thing to have. We don't care if it stays here forever.
That's right. That's right. We love it.
We love it so much, we would forsake money over just keeping the car here. So anyway, thanks for listening. Check us out, ClassicAutoMall.com, and all the podcast sites you can find us as well, and also on AM 860 and FM 97.5 HD2 out of Philly. We'll catch you next time.
This has been the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saffair. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit PatTravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.